Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, I'm excited about that. If you have your Bible, stand to your feet. I think would be the proper way to say that. Psalm chapter 100. We're going to read the whole chapter. Somebody say the whole chapter, because we're good Christians, because we love Jesus, and because it's only five verses long. So we're going to read Psalm chapter 100. This is most likely a psalm of David. Our Bible doesn't tell us that for sure, but most scholars and theologians agree that David most likely wrote this because it is just so David, okay? So it says in verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I was going to wait, and I thought no one was going to yell, and I was going to like just burn you guys and be like, y'all are not good Christians, you're not obedient to the Word of God, and so like 3% passed the test. So let's try it one more time. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Nice. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now you got to smile real big, okay? Come before his presence with singing that we've already done. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. I say again, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us your word, that we might live by it. And I pray that as we open it today, discuss it, that these seeds of truth would be planted deep within our heart and would produce a harvest in our life, that we would be fruitful. God, even in old age, we'd be fruitful. God, even as a young plant in the eyes of the Lord, that maybe someone hasn't been walking you with it for a long time, or they have. God, no matter what season of life, I pray and believe that you want us to be fruitful in every single season, that our leaf would not wither, and that we would not grow faint, but that we would be fruitful children of the Lord as we grow in your eyes. God, help us today. Help me. I empty myself of me, and I pray that you'd help me to not in any way operate in my flesh or in anything other than the Holy Spirit of God. So we give you this moment, this time today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can be seated. We've been in a series on for the past 3 weeks. The first week we talked about God is faithful. Last week we talked that God is able. And this week we're going to talk about the truth that God is good. These are three attributes of God. Attributes are something that cannot be separated from character. They're a part of who God is. God doesn't just do these things. He is these things. So we talked the first week about how God is faithful. We know that it's true. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That means that in the middle of the storm, he's faithful. On the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. That everything in between, he's going to be faithful. He's never going to run out on you. He's never going to stop loving you. He's never going to stop being true to his word. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Last week, we talked about how God is able. And Jesus asked the two blind men when they came into that house, and he said, do you believe that I am able to do this? It wasn't that Jesus was insecure or unsure if he had the power or the ability or to issue forth healing. He wanted to know if they believed that he was able to do it. And I want to challenge you to always believe God is able. No matter what you're facing, what you're doing, nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible for him. Today we're going to talk about God is good. And I'd be remiss if we didn't do it at least one time. God is good? And all the time? Okay, that's the only time I'm going to do it. No one laughed because you guys are like, you shouldn't swear. You're right. You got me on that one, okay? I give you my word. How about that? I give you my yes. I remember when I was growing up, my cousins, they would always say, I swear, I swear. And my uncle read one time in the Bible that the Bible says you should not swear. And so, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. And so my cousins, they adopted this terminology when they would tell you something and they wanted you to really believe them, they would say my yes. So they would say like, I will give you this and that's my yes, instead of saying I swear. And that was just a really Christianese and good way to promise you that they were going to be true to their word. But God is good all the time. The hardest part of preparing a sermon like this is deciding what scriptures not to use. Because there are so, I'm not like struggling. There are some topics that you feel the Lord put on your heart, and there's like one verse, right? There's like one thing, and then you start looking at different translations. Is that word here? Is it there? Can I find it in the unauthorized version? Like, what does the Spanish Bible say about this, right? No, the fact that God is good is an overflowing theme from the beginning of the book all the way to the end of the book and everywhere in between. And so if you want to look at more scriptures, because I only had time to get to a few today, or I only have time because we're going to baptize Tommy, and then I'm going to do some marriage counseling, and then praise God, I'm going to lunch, and I need to mow my yard, and I'm going to watch football, and I've got a lot of stuff to do today, okay? But if God wants us to go longer, we will go longer, and if you get upset with that, you can take it up with God, not with me, because it's not his fault, but it's on him for just being so good. There's just so much about him that we could talk about. So I can't look at everything today though. So if you want extra verses for Bible study, you can scan the QR code on the seat back in front of you. You can scan this right here and it will take you to the sermon notes. You can follow along with the notes today. And then you kind of have a little timetable. Where's he at? He's about halfway through the notes. Okay. He's been going for about 20 minutes. That means we got about 40 more minutes, right? So you can kind of keep up. But there are extra notes at the bottom if you want to study those later. And that's just a little bit of the goodness of God, because it's all throughout the Bible. The scriptures are abounding with the theme of God's never-ending goodness. Here's the thing about reading the Bible and God's goodness, is even if the Bible isn't plainly stating God is good or the Lord is good, which is really the more proper translation, the Lord is good, it's all throughout scripture. Even if it's not using those exact words, his goodness is still on display by the way he operates towards mankind. From the very beginning all the way to the very end, everything that God does, everything that God says is good. Yeah. There's nothing that God has ever done that was bad. Yeah. Don't believe me? Walk outside and look at the grass, look at the trees, look at the mountains, look at the sky, look at the rivers. He made it and he said, it's good. Literally, from the very beginning, the first thing God does, he creates. And what does he say? It's good. He made you. He made me. And he said, it's good. Because God doesn't do anything bad. Yeah. Everything that he does is full of goodness because it flows out of the overflowing abundance of who he is. Everywhere you flip in your Bible, you'll find a story. You'll find a poem. You'll find a song or an account of God just being good. Everywhere you read about God, it's him just showing himself to be good. So every word you read is a testimony to the fact that he is who he says that he is. He cannot separate himself from his goodness because his goodness is a part of his nature. Listen to what David said in Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So he didn't just say you do good. He first says you are good, because the doing that God does is based out of the being of who he is. Yeah. Should be the same in our life. Yeah. We shouldn't be one thing and do another. Our doing should flow out of our being. There's so many people that are trying to do Christian things, but if you'll focus on being a soul that is surrendered to God, yeah, then the being will flow out of, or the doing will flow out of your being. Yeah. You will do things that are righteous. You will do things that are holy. You will treat people with kindness. You will live with wisdom. You will have authority because you're not focused on trying to do those things. You're focused on being who God created you and called you to be. And so God's doing is based out of his being. David didn't say you do good. He said you are good and you do good. Why does God do good? Because God is good. So here's what I want you to see today. Good isn't just what God does. It's who he is. God doesn't just do good things, because people can do good things. Unsaved, lost people, they can give money, they can donate, they can try to save lives, they can serve. But those things may seem good, but at the root of it, they're not truly good. Because Jesus, when the rich young ruler came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom? So he's saying, you're good, and I want to do good things because I think that good things is what's going to give me eternal life. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Nobody's good. Only one, and that's God. So what is Jesus saying? Is he saying that no one can ever be good? No, he's saying that God's classification of goodness is so far removed and separate from what man can ever possibly even understand. He's in a class in a league of his own when it comes to goodness. Yeah. That's where God is. But we want to try to do good things to be good people, but God's saying, only I can truly make you good. So good isn't just what God does, it's who he is. When Moses, who's one of the most famous people in all of the Bible, in Exodus chapter 33 and 34, God has told Moses, I'm going to drive all of your enemies out in front of you. You guys can go to the promised land. You can have it. It's yours. I promised it to you, and I won't go back on my word, so you can have the promised land, but I'm not going. You guys can live in the land that's flowing with milk. It's flowing with honey. There will be no one to fight you for it. There will be nothing. You don't even have to lift a finger. Just go live in the promise, and you can have it. Moses said, if you don't come, we're not going. We don't want anything but your presence. We want you to be with us. Why? Because Moses had done what David talked about in the book of Psalms, to taste and to see that God is good. And once you've tasted and you've seen the goodness of God, you realize that no life outside of life with God will ever amount to anything that you actually want. And so Moses said, I've seen you be good. I've seen you in the cloud. I've seen you part the waters. I've seen the manna. I saw the plagues in Egypt, and I have tasted and I've seen, and I don't want to go if you're not going.
That's right.
I don't want a promised land. I don't want it to be heaven on earth. No, no, no. I just want you to come. That's what I want. And God says, okay, if that's what you want, I will come. I will be with you. But Moses, by this point, has broken the first tablets that God had given to him. And so God says that what I want you to do, Moses, is I want you to make some new tablets. I want you to come meet me on the mountain, and there I will show you my goodness. There I will reveal my name unto you. So Moses cuts some tablets. The next morning he rises early. He ascends Mount Sinai. He stands before the Lord. God appears in a cloud. He hides Moses in the cleft of a rock, and he puts his face over him. He says, I'm going to pass by you, and I'll move my hand where you can actually see, and you can see my backside, because no man shall see the face of God and live. And here's what God said to Moses as he passed by and revealed his name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. This is God revealing his nature to mankind. This is God telling us who he is.
Yeah.
This isn't a person telling you who they've known God to be. Yeah. This is God telling us who God is.
Yeah.
He said, I'm the Lord. I'm God. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. And guess what? I'm abounding in goodness and truth. Fast forward to September 28th, 2025. Guess what? He's still abounding in goodness and truth right now today. Everything in between. He promised whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's been keeping that promise for thousands of years. Goodness is in the very fabric and nature of his being. He doesn't have good days and bad days. Come on, somebody. I have good days. I have bad days. You have good days. You have bad days. Or let's get Christian. I have good seasons and bad seasons. I'm just having a bad season right now. It's just been a rough season, right? Like my Florida Gators and my Auburn Tigers. Bad season. Can you believe both my favorite teams stink? God's still good, but they ain't. They stink. I'm tired of watching them, just to be honest with you. So he's faithful at the root of who he is. You know, there's an old argument that goes something like this. If God's good, why do bad things happen? You ever thought that before? If God's so good, why do accidents happen? Why do people lose babies? Why do marriages fail? Why do people beat their children? Why does war happen? Why are people hungry? All of a sudden, you're more agnostic than you thought, aren't you? That's a joke. It's okay to laugh. I'm not actually calling you an agnostic. Everybody got offended. Like, what are you talking about? I'm a Christian. I'm not agnostic. I don't really think you're an agnostic. But those questions have roamed through my mind before. I'm not going to lie to you. If God's so good, why do bad things happen? And I can't give you an answer today that will probably answer all those questions, but I can give you some thoughts and some things that I've observed and I've learned. And the answer that I've most come back to is this. Bad things are not a reflection of the character of God, but the imperfection of man. Bad things happening do not make God bad. God's good even when bad things happen. And that's not just some fallback crutch answer. Bad things are always a result of evil things coming through evil people. God is only good. God is not evil. God is not bad. There's no darkness in him. There's no evil in him. There's no wickedness in him. God is altogether holy. He's altogether righteous. So bad things happening are not a reflection of the character and the nature of God. But that's what we want to do. Something bad happens, what do we want to do? We always want to find someone to blame. And the easiest person to blame sometimes is God. God allowed this to happen. God did this. Instead of realizing that bad things happening are a result of bad decisions that people have made from the beginning of time, and seeds have been sown and we're reaping it over and over and over again. You see, God, from the beginning, gave human beings a choice. Some people don't believe this. Some people believe that you know, in the sovereignty of God, he already pre-planned and ordained everything that would take place. And to me, that would mean that God is the author of evil. God is the author of bad. But no, God authored in what he created. What did he say when he created everything? It's good. He didn't make it bad. He made it good. Who made it bad? People made it bad. Because God gave a choice in the Garden of Eden. He said, there is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I did not give you that inherently. But Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent. Eve first, Adam second. And they chose to eat from the tree that God told them not to eat from. So that isn't God's fault. That is mankind's fault. You know, think about it this way. It's not love to force a right decision on someone. It's not love to force people to really do anything. It's not love to demand. It's love to give an option. It's love to give a choice. Marriage between one man in one woman is God's standard. That's how he ordained marriage to be. And when two people fall in love, what are they doing? They're choosing each other. They're making a choice. I want to enter into a covenant. I want to enter into a bond of love together. So think about it this way. Consensual intimate interaction that is stimulated by desire for each other and carried out within the context of marriage is good. And it's undefiled in the eyes of God. That's how he set it up. However, intercourse that is initiated by one party overpowering the other party is unlawful and beyond reasonable explanation. It should be punished. It should be condemned, right? So if you take those two analogies, a man and a woman coming together, choosing each other, one man wooed his female counterpart, told her how much he loved her, gave her flowers, bought her chocolate, took her on dates, picked her up, took her to the movies, professed his undying love, asked her father for her hand in marriage, saved up, bought a ring, got on one knee, went through all of the necessary steps, kept themselves for marriage, come together on that day and enter into holy matrimony, and they get married and they, you know, have a great life together. Okay, so that's one side. Then you have the other side, the one who preyed upon a woman. This guy, he lusted after her. He didn't want to wait. So he forced her to be with himself. Which one's love? Obviously the first one, right? Obviously the first one is operating in goodness. I am asking you to marry me. I'm not demanding you to be with me. But the rapist, the evil person, they don't give a choice. What did God do? He gave a choice. A choice between good and a choice between evil. He didn't say, you're going to serve me and you're not going to serve me. You must serve me, and whether you like it or not, against your own will, I'm going to make you come to me. He said, you can touch anything in the garden, but don't go to that tree. What did mankind do? And we want to blame Adam and Eve. The blame is not on Adam and Eve. The blame is on mankind as a whole. Through one man sin into the world, but if it wouldn't have been Adam, it would have been someone else. Because we all had that same opportunity. We all have that same choice. So God chooses to give humanity the opportunity to make a choice. Do you want to live in my goodness, or do you want to live in evil? And so what's happened is the problem is that humanity, time and time again, has chose evil. Chose evil in the garden, chose evil again and again and again. And finally, God in his goodness sent Christ Jesus to die on a cross to redeem all of humanity from the burden and the weight of sin that brings separation. And because God's good, he sent Jesus. You tell me how that isn't good. So many bad things happen. God sent Jesus, his only son, out of heaven to live a perfect sinless life, but yet have all of that sin transferred upon him when he was on the cross and God have to turn his face away from his only son. Tell me how that isn't good. Tell me how that isn't. And Jesus never promised that everything was going to be great because listen, once sin entered the world, time had to run its course. We opened the door for that. And what is God to do? Take our choice away? No. In love, he lets every single person have the choice to either come to him or not. You know, I was thinking about this week because we were driving, I believe we were coming here, and it had rained, and we saw the most vibrant rainbow I have ever seen in my entire life. It was on Thursday. Did anybody else see that double rainbow? It was literally the most bright, like you could see the Roy G. Biv's. You know what Roy G. Biv is? That's the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, Roy G. Biv. Like you could see, you're just like, Roy G. Biv, oh my goodness, sure is in the sky. I mean, it was literally the coolest rainbow I've ever seen in my entire life. And I started thinking about it. You know what that is? That's a promise kept for 6,000 years. When that first rainbow appeared in the sky after Noah and his family had disembarked from the ark, they came off and they made a sacrifice and God put a sign in the sky, a rainbow, and it was his promise, his covenant to never again flood the entire earth. Guess what? He has been faithful and he's been good to do that for 6,000 years. He's never given up on that. That is God's goodness because we've given him plenty of reasons to flood the earth and destroy it again. You know why he hasn't? He's good. He made a promise. He's good on that promise. He's faithful. He's kept that promise for 6,000 years. You know, if a married couple were to celebrate 50 years, which I believe Jim and Beth just did, if a couple were to celebrate 50-year anniversary, you know what we do? We'd applaud them for their faithfulness. And we did. We brought them up here, rightfully so. That's absolutely amazing. They've been faithful to one another. They've persevered. I'm sure there's been ups, there's been downs, but they have stayed true to one another. They're still serving together. They're still serving the Lord. Absolutely amazing. But we would applaud them for their faithfulness, for their ability to forgive. Most likely we'd brag about how good their marriage is. He's been showing his goodness since the dawn of time until now. 50 years is great, incredible in marriage. Talk about from creation till this point now, not one millisecond has God ever stopped being good, even when we were so bad that we gave him every reason to. You may say, yeah, but God flooded the earth. But you know what he did? He kept someone. He could have wiped everybody out. We're here today because God was good to Noah and to his family. So he's been showing his goodness. Now, in our text of Psalm 100, y'all thought I forgot about it, didn't you? It wasn't just a preliminary reading. We're actually going to talk about this text for a few moments. David says, I believe it's David, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Here's why David says we should do all these things. Verses 1 through 4 is instruction. Number 5 is the reason for the instruction. Number 5 says this, for he is good. For the Lord is good. Why do we do all these things? Why do we make a joyful shout? Why do we serve the Lord with gladness? Why do we come before his presence with singing? Why should we know that the Lord is God? Why is it that we should give thanksgiving and enter his courts of praise? Because he's good. That's what David says the reason is. The reason that we should do all these things as the people of God is centered and based around this one truth. God is good. And because he's good, we should do that. Now remember what God declared to Moses when he hit him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand over him and passed before him, what he said? He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That word abounding means in abundance, exceedingly full, greatly more. So you know what that means to me? God doesn't just possess some goodness. He's abounding in goodness. He doesn't just have a little goodness for you and a little goodness for me, or he's got some goodness for America, but not any for this nation and here for that group of people. No, no, no. He's abounding in goodness. It's overflowing. He's got more than enough goodness for you and you and you and you and you, every single one of us. He doesn't just do good. He is good. God's goodness is exponentially more than the weakness that we have. I love what I read in Isaiah chapter 40 during prayer this morning. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary." He's not running short. He's not running shy. He's not empty in any shape, form, or fashion. It says this, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." He's got more than enough. You may be feeling weak today. You may be feeling empty today. You may be disheartened. You may be feeling like you're at the end of your rope. He gives power to the weak. When you are weak, he's strong. His grace is sufficient. In your strength, his strength is made perfect when you are at a state of weakness. So often we're so ashamed of being weak. We're upset about the fact that we're being weak. No one likes being weak, but it's in that weakness that he is made strong, and that he comes and he imparts and he shows you, "I'm good even when you are not good. I'm good even when you think I forgot about you and you feel empty and you feel broken and you are in a place where you need to be re-energized and revived. I'm good in that moment, and I will show up and I will give you an invitation to the impartation of the strength and the power that can only come from the goodness of God." So David declares, "For the Lord is good." What does that word good mean? I always look at words in the Bible and I want to know what it means, because it means something different than maybe what we think it means. It's the Hebrew word tob. Everybody say tob. You know why I had you had to say that? Because it sounds so cool. Tob. In fact, my grandfather, this is a funny story. My grandfather, it's not even really a story, it's a fact. My grandfather gave himself the nickname Tob. I don't know why. We literally to this day do not know why he nicknamed himself Tob. His name is W-O. W period O period. No name, just initials. That's very gangster cowboy, if you ask me. That's pretty cool. W-O. But he wanted a nickname, so he chose his own. Also, gangster cowboy. "I don't have a nickname. I think I like one. I'll sit down here for a second under a tree." And you just have to know my grandfather. He's a good old country boy from Grassy, Alabama. So he's probably sitting by a riverbank or on a horse or something. And he's like, "Tob." No one else has that name. Tob. Where did he even come up with that? I need to tell him, like, did you know that it was the Hebrew word for good? He probably didn't, but this is a great definition. You're going to love this definition. But Granddaddy, growing up, he would say, "Let old Tob have her." If somebody like couldn't open a jar or something, we'd be at the house and we'd be struggling to open a jar. "Let old Tob have her." And then he'd open it up. So let old Tob have her. Tob, pleasant, agreeable, beneficial, beautiful. This is describing the nature of our God. Remember what God said to Moses, "I will reveal my name to you." And he said he was abounding in goodness. That's what this, it's goodness. That word shares the same definition from Tob. So God is saying, "I'm pleasant. I'm agreeable. I'm beneficial. Beautiful. Best." Think about that for a second. God is the best. I mean, that should be true. We should all agree with that statement, right? But it's literally in the nature of what David said. For the Lord is, and you could put any of these words in place of good, because Tob means the Lord is best. The Lord is better. He's bountiful. I love this definition right here. At ease. Let that fix what you think about God. God's not stressed. God's not worried. God's not angry. He's at ease. For the Lord is at ease. He's good. I love what, anytime I see Tim, "How you doing?" "It's all good." That's what he says. It's all good. Why? Because God's good. Even when things aren't good, life's good. Why? Because the Lord is good. He's best. He's beautiful. If he's at ease, why am I stressed out? If he ain't worried, why am I worried? If he's not walking the floor and wringing his hands, staying awake at night, Why am I? You need to hear this today. God is at ease. A.W. Tozer said this, the most important thing about a man is what he thinks about God. You know why? Because that is going to formulate how we treat people, how we think about ourselves, how we go about our job. Do you view God as some angry, narcissistic, frustrated, non-approachable entity? Or do you see a father who's at ease, peaceful, he's good, cheerful? Notice, or remember, this is defining and describing the characteristics of God. Cheerful. I understand he's angry with the wicked every day. Hopefully you're not living in wickedness. We don't view God as angry, but cheerful. God, the God that I know, as a son of the kingdom, he's in a good mood. He's cheerful. He's happy. This is who he is. He's gracious. He's kindly. He's loving. He's not just loving, he is love. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, he's merry. He's sweet. How many of you guys believe the Bible's true? I hope every hand goes up. Dear God. The Bible's true. This is who the Bible says God is. Merry, sweet, at ease, pleasurable, best, bountiful, beautiful. That's who he is. He can't be anything. We sang it earlier. Listen, okay, I'm going to full disclosure here. I picked the songs for Sunday. And I picked the songs on, when did you text me, Renee? Friday. Because normally I send the songs out at the beginning of the month. And I missed this week. Okay, so I didn't send any. All the other Sundays had songs. Today didn't have any songs. So Renee texted me on Friday. Hey, Pastor. That's kind of what she sounds like. Because she's from Illinois. Hey, Pastor. And I love your I'm not making fun of you. We don't have any songs. And so I'm like, surely she's wrong. She's looking at the wrong plan. Because I don't make mistakes, right? So I go and I look at the plan. No songs. So what do? In haste, I just put stuff in there. Okay? Not even. And so you guys are like, oh, we sang You Are Good, You Will Always Be Good. Because he's talking about God being good. I'm not that smart. I'm really not. I did not realize that I was scheduling that song. That's just how God, that's how good God is. Okay, that wasn't me. That is showing you how simple and dumb I actually am. Is I wasn't even correlating, and I already had my sermon. Okay, like it's not like, oh, we're singing that song. Well, I guess I'll talk about that. Like I've been telling you guys for weeks we're talking about this, and it's just how it worked out. He's good. He's always good. So here's my encouragement, here's my challenge to you, and I'll start to land the plane just a little bit here. My encouragement and my challenge to you is this, is if we believe he's this good all the time, look for his goodness. We miss what we're not looking for. My boys and I were trying to go somewhere yesterday, and I was using my GPS because I'd never been there before, and there was a little side road, and we were listening to the Auburn game, and I got so into the game because we were actually still in the game at this point. Well, we were kind of into it till the very end, but I missed my turn. I wasn't looking for. I'm just driving down the road. I'm just listening to the radio guys just talking through it, and I realized I missed my turn. Why? Because I wasn't looking at my GPS and I wasn't looking for the road. Sometimes we miss the goodness of God in our life simply because we weren't looking for it. I remember my grandmother teaching me years and years ago. She said, there's a psalm that says that God daily loads us with his benefits. So if they're there daily, I should be looking for them daily. And how many times do we miss the benefits, the goodness of God, simply because we aren't looking for it? I see the goodness of God in my children. I see the goodness of God in creation. I see the goodness of God in this church. The fact that you're sitting here today in this building, in your right mind, I see the goodness of God. I see the goodness of God in all of his wondrous works, the things that he's done, the things that he's doing, the things that he will do. But the question is, are we looking? Because if he's always good, then there's always something good to find about him. Paul would write to the Romans and say, for we know, that means we are sure of, we're confident, we have assurance. God works all things together for what? For good. To those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say he works all things out for the good, because sometimes he doesn't work you out of things. He works you through things. He works them together for your good. In fact, that word together is actually like a knitting term, and it means that he's weaving a beautiful tapestry out of all of the things that may seem like mistakes. You remember Bob Ross when he would, "There are no mistakes, only happy accidents." What did he say? Something like that, right? Like God is so much better than Bob Ross. He's working and weaving everything together to make something beautiful in your life. He's going to work everything, not out for your good, together for your good. It's all coming together for good. So wherever he is, he's working. And good is the eventual outcome and result. But here's the good news. He's always working. Right? And if he's always working, then there's always good on the other side. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So every day, we should make a joyful shout to the Lord. We should serve the Lord with gladness. Every day, not just on Sunday mornings, you should come before his presence with singing. Every day you should know and remember the Lord, he is God. Psalm chapter 46, be still and know that I am God. That's not a psalmist saying, hey, it's a good idea. This is a good devotional tactic. Sit somewhere, get quiet, and know that God is God. No, that's God saying as a command, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we miss the goodness of God, the nature of God, relationship with God, because we won't be still long enough. We won't stop, wait, pause. We live in such a fast-paced culture. We were talking to Caleb earlier, and Madison asked him, do you like it when life is fast or do you like it when life is slow? He said, I like it wide open, which is like saying, I don't just like it fast. I want it as fast as it can go. And I'm the same way. I'm a fast-paced person, right? I don't like waiting around. I don't like sitting around. But there is something that is so good about grounding yourself and pausing and saying, I'm going to be still and know that he is God. Because God is good. He's beautiful. He's bountiful. He's at ease. If he's at ease, I should be at ease. If he's cheerful, I should be cheerful. If he's good, I should be good. Because my identity is in him. I was created in his image and he's good. So therefore, I want to do that. Know that he is God. Every day we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. I want to encourage you. Make this a part of your daily routine to thank God. God, I thank you for my house. I thank you for my clothing. I thank you for the food that you give me. Because all those things, according to Matthew chapter 6, come from God. He will not let you go hungry. He will not let you go without clothes. So if you've got food, you've got clothes, God gave them to you. And you should be thankful. God, thank you for breath inside of my lungs. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my sanity. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that I had a bed to sleep in. Thank you that I had a roof over my head. Thank you that I had everything that I needed to brush my teeth and take a shower. Like, there are so many things that we can say thank you for. And David's saying every single day we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. We should praise him, honor him, magnify him, lift him up. We should be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? Because God's good. Why? Because God is the best. Because God's better. Because God's at ease. He's gracious. He's pleasant. He's sweet. There is no one like the Lord. So I want to remind you today, God is faithful. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Never forget these truths. God is faithful. All the time. God is able all the time. There's never a moment where God goes, I can't right now. Have you ever had a friend and they've always come through for you and you needed something? You need them to watch your children. You need to borrow their trailer. You need them to help you with a project. Then you need them to share a recipe with you. And they say, I can't right now. It's not that they wouldn't. So they just can't. God, there is no can't in God. The only thing God can't do, according to Scripture, is lie. He cannot lie. Everything he says is absolute truth. That's why Moses said, or Moses had an account with God, and God said he is abounding in what? Goodness and truth. That's just who he's always good, and he's always going to speak what is true. He's faithful all the time. He's able all the time, and he is good all the time. Look for his goodness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. Father, I just declare this morning that we believe that you're good. Your word says it, and therefore it's true. And so I ask that for anyone that's been struggling and wondering, why is this happening to me? Why has life gone this way? Why does it seem that my lot in life is more difficult than others. Why'd you let this happen? God, I pray that today they would realize you're good and you can work all things together. I pray that we would take a lesson from Joseph, who got ridiculed by his brothers, lied about, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, lied on, thrown in prison. But yet he could turn around and look at his brothers years in the future and say, what you intended for harm, what God use it for? Good. Why? Because whatever God does, it's going to be good. The question is, will you stay along for the ride? So many people abort the mission. So many people hit the eject button and say, get me out of here. I don't want to be on this ride anymore. And God's saying, if you'll just hold on, it'll be good. If you'll just wait, I'll make it good. Be patient. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed that I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You got to just keep believing. God, you're good and I'm going to see you be good. God, you're faithful and I'm going to feed on your faithfulness, as the Psalms say. God, you're able and I believe that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think according to the power that's at work in me. And so, Father, I pray that today these truths would be cemented in our mind. And we would not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. We would live like you're faithful, that we would believe like you're able, and that we would trust knowing that you are good. You are all the time, no matter if it's the midnight hour, no matter if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I just want you to know today, he's not up there taking a break. He doesn't take smoke breaks. He's available. He's willing. He's ready. He's listening. And whatever he says, whatever he does, it's always rooted in goodness. So, Father, I thank you that you're good, and we magnify your goodness today. We sing of it often, but I think the problem is that we sing so many of these truths about the faithfulness of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, that they just get tossed into our minds and fall on the back burner. We sing, you are good, you will always be good. That should trigger something inside of us to go, wow, if we really believe what we're singing, God is good and he will always be good. What does that mean about him? What does that mean for me? If God is good and he will always be good. Because that's not just some line that a person wrote. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. So God, we magnify you today. If you have a situation in your life with every head bowed and every eye closed where you're saying, I need the goodness of God to intervene. I've been trying my hardest. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. But I just need God's goodness to be revealed in my life. Would you lift your hand? I want to pray with you today. I've got my hand up. I've got tons of situations that I'm saying, God, I admit I need you to intervene. I need you to show your goodness. So Lord, I pray for every hand that is lifted that represents maybe one, maybe 1,000 problems or possibilities or circumstances. And I thank you that in the midst of every single one of them, you're going to be good. There's not just some quota that you can only fulfill this amount of requests a day. You are infinite in your power, infinite in your might, and infinite in your goodness. And we believe that you are able to do these things. Reveal yourself in your goodness. Show yourself to be faithful. As we know that you are and you always will be, we put this in your hands and we say we trust you and we believe that you are good. Despite bad things happening, you're good. When the battery goes out on the car, God's still good. When the children are fighting, God's still good. When you don't get paid what you believe that you're worth, God is still good. He is going to be good because he doesn't know any other way to be. And so God, we magnify you in that today. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Well Fort Payne today. Lift your hands, receive this blessing, and then we will meet together under the awning, and Tommy's going to get baptized. It's a great day in the Lord. And so thank you once again for being here. We hope to see you Wednesday night. at 6:30. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, give you his name, and may you walk and be aware of the goodness of God in every single moment and situation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you guys. Go with God today. Have a great day. I'll see you out there.